This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome everybody to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And Hunter, I want to be the first one to wish you a happy International Sweatpants Day.
I didn't get the memo, and I did not wear my sweatpants to work.
I am celebrating. It's like my favorite day of the year. It's great. So anyway, all right. Well, you better remedy that.
That's
after we're
right.
done here.
Comfort is important.
Yay, my favorite day. All right, we're going to jump right in. We got a great show planned today. We want to welcome, for the first time on the Newsmakers at Noon show, candidate for Salem City Council Ward 6, Betsy Vega. She's joining us today. Betsy, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be here, Denise. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for stepping up to run.
Absolutely.
You're running in Ward 6, which was the seat that was vacated when Julie Hoy won the mayoral race, and she's now mayor. So that seat has someone who's in it now. So you've got a two-way race. But talk to us a little. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what made you decide that, yeah, I'm going to throw my hat in and run for council.
Thank you. Yeah, so my name is Betsy Vega, and I am a daughter of an Argentine and Colombian immigrant.
Oh, wow.
And so my name, Betsy, comes from Betsy Ross. And so I'm so excited
really?
About that. That's mm-hmm. that's correct.
That.
Yeah. And you know, my daughter, she was born on Flag Day. So how about that?
Oh, cool. So it's the 14th of June. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And so I grew up in four different countries. Mm-hmm. And we decided to call Oregon our home, especially Salem. And so mm-hmm. I'm really excited and have been doing several projects here in Salem and definitely just moving forward. And the reason why I decided to run for city council is because I see a really big need in our community where change needs to happen, and mm-hmm. it hasn't been happening.
Yeah, so Ward 6 is sort of northeast Lancaster, that area. Now, I know I understand you're a business owner, small business owner, an educator, and you've been volunteering for most of your life. So talk to us a little bit about what you see as the big problems that are kind of staring down Salem right now.
Well, right now, I have three priorities, but they're both all three number ones, like I
yeah.
mentioned.
Yeah.
Homelessness. Yeah. Public safety, and then also housing is a really big thing. Especially, I guess they all come together mm-hmm. at some point. They all cross the roads, but at the same time, I think the homelessness is one of the biggest and the priority. So I've been out at Marine Wallace Park, and mm-hmm. I've been talking to folks there. I'm also a community chaplain, so I go into Marion County and Polk Jail and speak to folks. I've seen when they first come in and they nod off, they're drowsy during our meeting. But then after that, a couple of weeks afterwards, then you can actually have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And I really feel that's where the need comes in, is attempting to have a person be sober so mm-hmm. we can have a sound conversation with them. And some people really say, you know what, I want to change my life, I want to make it better. And that is the need, is actually talking to people, having them accountable, going to a place that also pairs with accountability. Because from what I have heard from constituents, from different members of the community, is that mm-hmm. there is a lack of accountability in yep. residential places. And that's what I want to continue to focus on, and actually find that accountability where they're doing what they're going to be saying that they're going to do.
So it sounds like you've got quite a background. And then, of course, with your chaplaincy and talking to people. So you're talking to them, they're removed from that situation out on the street or in the park. So like you said, they're a little more clear-minded when you're talking to them. I mean, are you finding that most of them do want help and want to get off and get clean?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. They want to have a better relationship with their parent, their kids, or whomever it is that their loved one is, and just be better in the community. And sometimes that can be hard. So as a community as a whole, come together with residential treatment, and with that residential treatment as well, because I do go also to several of residents residential treatment centers, and we have church and we talk to folks too. There's also some laws and policies that do need to change, and some are really strict and they're not used to that. And in mm-hmm. the other ones, they're just a little bit too loosey-goosey. So we have to find, you know, that's sweet point where we can, you know, have that accountability and at the same time dignity for them to be people that they can go ahead and get better and feel that they're not being restricted or there's no accountability for that.
So I like that you really got hands-on experience. You've got boots on the ground. It's sort of not just an idea. You actually live this and you're in the community already doing the work.
That's correct.
Yeah. And that's got to inform your decision making, especially when you've got a seat on the council, to how when these things come up on council, that's the lens you're going to look at it through.
Absolutely. It's not just I'm making up this idea or this wish dream or anything like that. It's like, no, I'm actually talking to people. I'm seeing them from the get-go, like when they are out in their non-sheltered place. And mm-hmm. then when I see them that they are in a situation, not the best, but at least we have a restricted form of talking to them, talking to people. And then when they are out in a residential treatment center, then we're working with them. So we're following them. And I have extensive background with case management. I worked in a couple of states with child welfare. And so I worked as a PS worker, which is protective services, also did ongoing case management. And I also am a behavioral analyst. So I'm able to ask those questions. I'm able to talk to people and get their perspective of it, you know, and see how can I help you? And of course, there's some people who just don't want help. And that's, we can't force people, but we can definitely have a sound conversation when the opportunity arises to do so.
Okay, excellent. You've got really great experience bringing a really unique perspective, I think, to the council. Let's kind of switch it over the other way. And you talk about a lot of talk about downtown and people don't feel comfortable. Kind of dovetails in with affordability. Public safety. So then you've got residents that don't want to go downtown. They don't feel comfortable. So how does that dovetail as far as sort of treating people with dignity, but also making citizens feel safe to go into their own downtown?
Right. So I know that there are two officers, resource officers that are mm-hmm. out working in the community. And I know that now, as the beginning of the year, there are 7 days a week that they're working on consistently. And I think that's a really great start to have that consistency. We just need to ump it a little bit more. And I need to research more and dig more to see how we can make that better and make our community safer.
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm sure if you're out, I don't know if you've started doing heavy door knocking, but you will hear about that on the doorstep. Mm-hmm. So I want to switch gears a little bit to affordability. Obviously, Hunter and I were following for a long time and very vocal about our opposition to the city's payroll tax. So talk to us a little bit of where you come down on raising taxes, what the city can and can't or should or shouldn't do.
Yeah, I'm totally against that. As a small business owner myself, it affects our payroll, it affects our retail, and I don't want to up my prices as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us business owners want to do that as well. I mean, let me put it this way. At this point, some businesses are barely breaking even, and if we're going to be adding more taxes, I think that's just going to bring many companies down. And instead of helping them, what they're going to do is close their doors, and we don't want to do that. We are the livability or liability, or the word of what I want to say is like the what's the word that I'm looking for? Livable. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just the livability, the general livability and quality of life.
Yes, exactly. And having a business, I mean, we want to have a little bit more money so we can invest in our economy, so we can hire more employees and continue to help our economy grow.
Yeah, and I think all of those go hand in hand, which I think it is. It's good that you do have those as your priorities. Again, I'm on your website, and for those that are interested, it is betsy4salem.com, and she outlines that out there. Now, you have been going to some meetings. Am I right? And I remember seeing you testify at one of the meetings.
I sure did. That was my very first time that I testified. So I said, you know what? I'm passionate about this. This definitely touched a nerve for me. And I have to be bold. I have to speak out. And yeah. People who know me, I'm more on the quiet side, looking out in. And so this time I said, you know what? I need to speak. I need to say something. And I sure did. I am definitely working with law enforcement for many years.
Yeah.
And when I'm also on a board member for Sheriff Nick Hunter. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that happen, I was baffled. It's just like, there's just no way. I was like, I can't believe what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's why I had to speak out, because I worked with foster children for many, many years. And to have something like that happen to this young lady is just baffled. It's just...
Well, specifically, yeah. What you're speaking about, which issue? Because I don't remember which meeting you testified at. Was that the one on the police review board?
Yes, the police review board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was interesting. I watched that meeting, and I've always said I needed a glass of wine to get through it. But a lot of times, and you see that sitting on the other side, so it'll be a different perspective from you sitting up on the dais behind the nameplate that says City Councilor for Ward 6. It's a different experience. So let me ask you, too, before we let you go, because I know you're a busy lady, but you got, you know, your family, they've got to be on board for this. Again, you're not going to get rich doing this. This is your salary will be 0.00, which, again, thank you. Because it's a very hard job, and you do it because you have a servant's heart and you love it.
Yes, ma'am. That's very true. I volunteer for other organizations as well. I'm the coordinator for Marion Polk Food Share, and we have a distribution. And so that's one of the questions that people ask, you know, why do you mm-hmm. do this? You know, you're not getting paid. And I'm like, it's okay. The Lord pays me. And I'm very happy with that. So I'm like you said, I'm a servant leader. So, and here I am, you know, when the Lord says, call my name, I'm like, I'm right here. Send me.
Here I am. I love that. So again, Betsy for Salem. So real quick, again, we're on the 21st of January already. The primary is May 19th, Hunter? 9th?
I think it's the
19th. May
19th. 19th. Okay,
19th sounds right.
See,
to
you
me.
Know that, Betsy. That should be like ingrained in your brain. So that's going to get here before we know it. We will definitely have you back again. But anybody that is interested, do you have social media? How can people learn more about you and reach out to you?
Yes. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I have my website, Betsy for Salem. So that's my name, BTSYFOR, and then Salem.com. And there you can have more information. You can read about me. And yes, you can definitely also, there's a button there for volunteer. If you want to volunteer, help us knock doors, because we've been also doing that, knocking on doors, making phone calls. And if you would like to support Betsy for Salem, we have a donate button as well.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, again, Betsy Vega, we are delighted that you're running. And again, thank you. Thank your family for getting behind you for doing this. It's such an important Salem City Council is really close to the people, and it's a very, very important role. So again, thank you, Betsy for Salem.com. We appreciate you coming in, and we'll talk to you again as we get closer to the primary.
Awesome. Thank you for having me today.
Mm-hmm. You bet. You bet. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Bi-Mart.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yesterday was Lucky Number Tuesday.
Yeah,
but you can still get ammo.
Hunter,
you know
ammo's
what else?
Available.
Always available. Today's also National Cheesy Socks Day. And I don't know whether that means socks that smell like cheese or socks that have cheesy designs on them. I haven't decided what that means yet. But I don't think I'm going to celebrate that one either way.
Yeah, I'm a little confused on that one. I'll need some clarity.
I know. We need some clarity on that.
We might need a Senate hearing over this one to understand exactly what we're looking at. How do you identify a sock as a cheesy or is cheese decorated?
Cheesy design? fine. Okay, so, well, speaking of Salem, and again, Betsy Vega, go check her out, betsyforsalem.com, F-O-R, Betsy for Salem. And I love her even because she has it spelled out F-O-R.
That's right. That's always important to you.
Okay, so you said this story this morning about, it was a Statesman Journal post on Facebook. Interesting. During the first 6 months, again, speaking of Salem and fees and all that kind of stuff, during the first 6 months of paid on-street parking in downtown Salem, the city collected $1.194 million, and it's continuing to outpace projections. So a couple of people are like, well, it looks like the naysayers were wrong, because I remember kind of the conventional wisdom was downtown is going to dry up, nobody's going to go. Doesn't appear that that's the case.
No, and you know, it makes you realize how quickly, I mean, what are they charging downtown? Maybe a dollar or something like that.
I think it's $3 for 2 hours, I think, something like that.
Yeah, how quickly that amount adds up, even if it's a quick shopping trip. And I'm not overly surprised. I am a little bit like, maybe they're charging more than they should if we're outpacing projections. You'd wish government would kind of find that sweet spot and say, you know, we only need the money that we're telling you we need, rather than, you know, an extra amount. But at the same time, obviously, it hasn't deterred people from going downtown.
What's concerning, though, is they are apparently still charging downtown businesses the parking space fee. So honestly, that should go away.
I think
that, because I think it's making people a little less likely to go downtown and to favor local businesses if they do have to pay for that. Maybe if you have a meeting, you'd go to one of the parkades, because those are still free. Mm-hmm. But I think that parking, the business owners shouldn't have to be paying for that anymore, because part of what they were paying for is free parking.
Yeah, my understanding was that was going to be phased out, that the premise behind putting the paid parking out there was going to be to eliminate that charge on downtown businesses. But they needed a soft spot in the middle, you know, where they were doing both for a while. And I'm kind of going, well, why do you need both for a little while? And obviously, we're 6 months in. Is that what, you know, reading that, I'm kind of going, so if businesses are still paying, why at this point?
Well, again, and I'm on this thread, and these threads are really interesting, because there's a lot of business owners chiming in. Somebody says here that they are bringing up canceling it early at the next council meeting next week. So that would be the place to make that go away, because that's kind of double dip, and that's not fair to the merchants down there. And, you know, you got a lot of people saying when they're downtown for meetings, they go to the parkade, which then opens up parking right in front of the businesses, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the primary premise is you don't want someone going down there and just parking for free and going into a meeting and being unavailable for multiple hours. You want, you know, those spots to be relatively quick turnover so you can keep getting people into the businesses. And so, yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah, let's get rid of the businesses paying for the free parking when it's not free parking.
Yeah, I think and I'm just kind of, again, sort of the trend that I'm seeing in the comments of people taking the time to comment is that they go down to eat. And so they don't know quite how much to pay for parking. Am I going to be there for 2 hours, for an hour and a half? And somebody had a story about going in and they didn't end up, I think they paid for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, and they didn't end up getting their food for like till 5 minutes. And that's kind of an issue with the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, wait, an hour and a half to get your food? Whoa, unless you're sitting at the bar, but man.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah, that sounds like a personal challenge. Like, did you wander around? I mean, I'm knowing if I'm sitting there, especially, you know, if I have my kids with me or anything, and it's taking, you know, exorbitantly long, like an hour and 25 minutes to get food, I'm going to say something a long time before that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. That's way too long. I don't have that much patience. Okay, switching gears too, again, still downtown. Our friend Manny Martinez, who is running for Ward 2, posted about this. And initially I was like, what? $37,000 for 27 trash cans. Now, is that all of them? I'm not quite sure, because the article is behind a paywall. It looks like it's $1,370 per trash can. And if it includes finishing and installing it, that doesn't seem so horrible, because it looks like they're meant to deter people from basically diving in and grabbing stuff.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, and I'm getting that out of the comment thread. I kind of saw the same thing. I'm kind of like, that's, you know, is there, you know, was this a bidding process? Because if you're paying $1,300 a garbage can, I can send you to our local Bi-Mart and you can get them for a whole lot cheaper.
That's going to last 2 minutes on the street.
So it sounds like this is for, you know, however they're going to cage them in and protect them and utilize them. So it's a little more understandable, but I still kind of sit here and go even $1,300 for that because there's something pre-existing in those spots where those garbage cans are going to be. Yeah. How much retrofitting do you need to do, whatever the scenario is? Yeah, you don't want people wandering off with them or diving through them or tearing them apart or anything else. Yeah. But at the same time, I think the reputation of government overspending on something simple as garbage can taints me a little bit.
What is it, like the $500 toilet seat kind of thing? I don't know. Somebody had a really great idea on the thread. I wonder why they don't approach C-Tech and have the high schoolers make them for a fraction of the cost. I'm like, ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, there's too many good ideas out there when it comes to how government spends money that I think I go back and you know, I've heard stories, you know, many years ago now of things like $500 garbage cans in schools you know, $200 pizza cutters and things like that. So I'm kind of going, I'm leery, but at the same time, I can understand it more if they are going to be well-built, well-protected, you know, garbage cans throughout downtown.
Well, and somebody made the point, you know, and also if the cost, depending on permitting and fees and all the other rigmarole that, you know, municipal governments put on people trying to make and install these things, that probably is adding to the cost, which is going to be trickling down to whoever is purchasing them.
Yeah, which I just sit here and I'm kind of like, you would think that if the city of Salem is going to put garbage cans around town, they would be able to waive some of those fees in those permitting processes.
Yeah, and I don't know that for a fact. Just interesting comments. You know, everybody's got an opinion on social media, but some really good ones. I like the C-Tech idea.
I do, too. I think finding an inventive way of getting more community involvement is a plus and could definitely reduce the costs of something like this.
Yeah, or have a contest to paint them. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back on this Wednesday. I want to mention, too, we are on all streaming sites. And now I feel like I'm like, we're up there with the, you know, the big dogs. It's like, go out there and follow us, like us, give us a 5-star rating. It's good for the algorithm, a 5-star rating. I went out and gave it 5 stars. And it's out there. It's Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. I believe you got, because I think there were two, and I don't know what happened with that, but that's the one. That is update. Our stuff goes out every day. You can see full summaries of everything. We're searchable with hashtags. If you're not sure, if you heard something, you can find us. So all of them are out there. I happen to follow us on Spotify. That's where I have my stuff. But you can get us on iTunes, on Spreaker, on all the other iHeart, I think, all of them. It's out there on all of them.
Well, and I'm excited to explore some opportunities that being on all these streaming sites can afford us as we progress through the year of 2026.
We've got some good ideas because one of the things, and we're not going to, you know, commit to anything right now, but one of the things we always say is there is just never enough time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's never enough time. And I'm like an over prepper.
Well,
I'm an over prepper and I have way too much stuff. We never get a chance to talk about everything.
Yeah. Well, and then there's always those things that could always be a lot of fun to take a deeper dive into that we don't get that opportunity with only an hour on the air.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So hint, hint. We're talking. We're mulling things over. That's right. We are mulling things over because we love to talk and there's so much to talk about. And every day that hell is fresh.
That's right. And some days, you know, it would just be fun to be able to play the awful mating calls on the air. And we can't do that over the radio. But, you know, we could do something fun like that on occasion.
We have to bleep it on this side. We don't have to bleep it on potentially the other. Also, if you want to get in touch with us, newsmakers at noon at kykn.com is the show email. If you know my email, email me. I'm getting an email right now from a friend of the show. A couple emails with questions. Happy to follow up on your questions. I love that. We're not in a position right now to take calls. That's just the way it is with us. But there are many, many ways to get in touch with us. And we all are also out there on all the socials. We're on Facebook, we're on X, we're on Insta. So you can follow us out there on all of those and, as well, and interact with us out there, because I watch all that. That would be me.
Yeah. Well, and that's the fun part is you know, using all of what is at our disposal to highlight different advertisers and different things going on in the community and events calendars and things like, you know, the Spirit Chorus and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, we don't all want to be doom and gloom in what Fresh are waking up to. So we have those opportunities to do those kinds of things and keep everybody informed of the good things going on as well as the troubling news of the day.
Because there is good stuff going on. I mean, we were talking yesterday about, you know, people jumping into the gubernatorial race. It looks like, according to some of the other news sites, we talked about it yesterday. That was my hunch based on Twitter post from Representative Ed Deal that I you know, it looks like he's going to be making the official announcement this evening. Glad he's in the race. So now I think we're up to five. We talked about a YouTuber, David Medina, is jumping in. And then, of course, Daniel Bethel, Christine Drazen, and there was that other guy who I never can pronounce.
Duyuk.
So there's five there. According to Grok, there's four that are officially in there for the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Again, you got Kotax running to be reelected. I don't know. You think voters are going to put her back in Mahonia Hall?
Yes. The Democrat primary, she is going to win overwhelmingly with the help of media pointing out that, you know, she's the incumbent and she's the only one really worth voting for. I do not expect to see many mentions of the other currently three, could be however many candidates coming up, just because that's the way they operate. They're going to make sure they mention that there's 5, 6, 7, 8, 25, 38, whatever number the Republican primary gets up to. They'll mention all of them. But on the Democrat side, it's Kotek or bust.
Yeah. And, you know, if that happens, I mean, nobody likes what's going on now. I don't even think Democrats like with the state of the state and what's happening that. I mean, all the sort of the relief and the tax relief and relief from gas prices and food prices, not hitting Oregon. It's just not hitting the West Coast. There's taxes, fees. I mean, of course, the referendum for the gas tax that Representative Deal was one of the spearheads on that, one of the organizers. Okay, so they can't officially... That it will be on the ballot.
Yeah, they cannot roll it back. They cannot just
roll it back.
Void out
so
her
sad,
signature
so
to make her look good. And yeah, no, it is going to be on the ballot one way or another. And of course, now she's throwing out her threats of, well, now I'm going to have to lay off 1,000 workers and this and that. And I'm kind of going, wait a minute, I thought it was only 600. Now it's up to 1,000, but there's like 450 of those are unfilled positions.
It's all bull poop. It's all bull poop.
Yeah, well, and I think Deal actually pointed out early on in this whole talk that they have a whole like $30 million a year DEI department.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that was Representative Werner Reschke.
Okay, Werner. Yeah.
Cut, like $300 million or something. Start there. Hey, cut here.
Yeah,
cut here.
Right.
And then there's talk about, well, yeah, okay, well, yeah, you don't like that. You know, Oregonians have always prided themselves on not having a sales tax. Yeah, well, we'll do something about that, according to them. I got to say, because if you're watching what's happening over in Virginia with Spanberger, who got in there, who ran as a moderate. And again, these people run as moderates. Oh, no, I would never. I'm not radical like Tim Walz. And you saw what happened to Minnesota, because Tim Walz ran the same way. And they go cojones to the wall when they get in there. And their agenda is, and I love this comment here, and I just want to share it. Republicans taking office. Well, we can't do those things that will allow us to gain more power. The Democrats will just do it back to us later. Democrats taking office. We're going to grab power. We're going to shove our unpopular agenda down your throats, and we're going to make sure you can never win an election again. Okay? And that happens every single time, whether it's national, state, municipal.
Well, we've been talking about a lot this week is being Democrat right now means being a part of groupthink.
Yep.
So Spanberger, if she can run as a moderate all day long, but she really has her own none of her own opinions. She has to do what her party says. And I believe the first thing they did when the Democrats fully took over Virginia in the last few days
was they
took away mandatory sentencing for convicted sex offenders. So now judges in Virginia can go ahead and slap that rapist on the wrist and send him out the door and back into the community with no ramifications.
Yeah. So the people, the Democrats are thinking, oh, she's a moderate. And also, they lie. Okay. Can we just put that out there? They'll lie. I have family. I have a beloved aunt and uncle that live on a farm in Virginia. I'm worried about them.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't vote for her. I know sure as heck they didn't vote for her. But I mean, anybody in Virginia, your state has just shifted overnight. You don't like what's going on in Minnesota? Well, now you got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I saw some people were commenting, you know, people out of Virginia saying we are now the East Coast California overnight. Yep. I mean, that's how quickly.
Overnight.
And unfortunately, that's part of the fallout of Trump being the president is now the Democrat Party has gone so far off the rails to the other side as a groupthink that now they have to just shove everything down your throats immediately and turn anything they can touch into their own, you know, socialist utopia in order to prove that, you know, they are anything but a potential MAGA member.
Yeah. And again, they will force their agenda. They will go hell's bells and get this thing done. That's what they do. And Republicans on the other side, I mean, even now we're with the SAVE Act. You've got, I don't know. And you got 8 Republicans, including the Grassley from Iowa, of all places. I can't support that. You know, there's some iffy stuff in it, I think, with voter ID and stuff that I'd want to do more on. But the bottom line is, with the filibuster now, what they're doing is saying, okay, we're not going to get rid of it, but you're going to have to stand up in a diaper for 24 hours and talk. Or you may need a catheter because you're actually going to spend 3 days on the floor trying to convince people about that. That's the way it was. Mm-hmm. And they can't even get that done.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I'm just sitting here going, I understand there may be some reservations about what's in the SAVE Act, and there's probably elements that may end up making their way to the Supreme Court to find out if, you know, it's within the federal purview. But at the same time, let's make it happen. We see what's happening when, you know, voter rolls are being challenged now. 800,000 are being removed in the state of Oregon.
Yes.
And we need to keep continuing in that direction with a bit of a heavy hand to kind of force these blue areas to actually play by the rules that the Republicans for some reason believe that they are playing by. Yeah,
I know. It's like the everything has shifted and we keep trying to play by those old rules when they're far down the field doing whatever the hell they want. I don't at this point. Well, stop doing that. Well, maybe be a little smarter.
I saw a little bit of an economic analogy. Somebody posted that, you know, our economy made a drastic change in 1912 when, you know, with the, you know, when everything went federal, the federal bank and, you know, virtually, you know, outside entities took control of our financial standing. And he said the majority of people are playing by 1912 rules, but the rules are now the 1913 version, which, you know, we're losing at. And that's why 30% of America is living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, going off the gold standard. Thanks, Nixon. Because are you watching gold? I think I put that in our show notes. Oh, my gosh. I think we're going to hit 5,000 an ounce for gold here pretty quick. And silver is closing in. Hold on, I'm bringing up my app. Because just before we went on, it was like $95 an ounce. Again, this time last year, it was $32 an ounce. Yeah, it's $92 an ounce. So yike, which always kind of tells you then it really means that the dollar is sort of dropping off. I think the dollar's lost about 10% of its sort of purchasing power, and you've got people kind of backing off from the dollar, so it's a little scary.
Well, and unfortunately here in Oregon, the purchasing power of that dollar is weaker than just about everywhere else in the United States, so...
I'm seeing people posting, I mean, in some states, not the Western, even in the interior Western, you're not under $2, but I'm thinking like Arkansas and some of the more Southern states, that's like a buck something.
You know, when I first started driving many, many moons ago, I remember the first time I pulled into a gas station, I was paying over $1 for gas. And I'm like, this is appalling.
It's amazing what we get used to.
I know. Well, that's what happens when you grow with the way the gas prices and the dollar value maneuver rather than, you know, if you popped 16, 17 year old me in today, oh my gosh, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, well, no wonder nobody cruises the gut anymore there. I totally dated myself. Cruising the gut is no more. It's not a thing. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Then there's some good and happy news coming out of the federal government, and I love this. So we're going to come back and talk about that in a minute. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. So I have to ask a question of you. Has anybody been arrested yet, Hunter? Have you seen any news about any arrests coming out of Minnesota?
No, no.
You
know? I'm seeing Don Lemon in his panic posts playing the victim.
They were talking with that ookity broad that does the left wing podcast who looks like a hairless cat.
Yep.
Her?
Well, yeah. And then I guess Nicki Minaj said something about Don Lemon. So he's come out and kind of attacked her. And, you know, he's playing the victim card. It's because he's obviously black and gay, and that's the only reason anyone would even talk about persecuting the poor guy.
What a loser.
And then the other one that gets me is that bearded guy coming out, and he's very confrontational, including somebody, you know, he did a press conference and pretty much said, yeah, I dared them to come get me.
Yeah. The guy with basically he looks like he has his corn niblets for teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Living on a mountainside or something. He's obviously.
He's gross.
Yeah. And I'm
belligerent.
Just
he was one of the terrorizers in the church.
Yeah. So I saw an interview with him where somebody actually asked him, and have you had a few adult beverages? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with drinking beer. And I'm just kind of going, so this is who represents you. You know, the people that organize this thing, they're hiding in the background. Their names are out publicly because of the primary organizer. But they're letting these fools, Don Lemon and this guy, literally be the face of this operation.
Yeah. So I'm really just wondering when are we going to see arrests? This happened on Sunday. It is now Wednesday. I'm sorry. Do we need to prove anything? It's all on video.
Well, I think the wheels of justice.
What does there need to be investigated?
Well, the wheels of justice are a little bit flat at this point.
That's
all I can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the wheels of justice turning, but, you know, when it comes to leftists acting badly, the wheels have fallen off.
And then they have it on video, and there it is, and everybody's on it, and you can see Lemon in there planning with them in the car and joking around. What a pathetic loser this guy is. He thought this was going to help his career. I hope it ends it, and I hope his butt ends up in a jail cell soon.
Yep.
I'm just about up to here with this.
Well, and I think you take his producers out with you, because they were literally in the car talking about, just make sure you don't tell them where we're going. I'm going, so this is just as scummy as you get. Because, yeah, he posted all the video. He made it obvious that he knew what was happening, knew the plan, knew everything, you know, invaded the church, was asked to leave. He was asked to leave, and he didn't leave. You know, I'm just going, every aspect of this and his claim of, oh, no, it's just active journalism. No, that's garbage.
I was doing journalism, and I have a First Amendment right. No, you don't. Not there. No, buddy, no. He's so pathetic. And he just, you can see when he was on with hairless cat lady, that he's pretty impressed with himself. If you watch him, and he's like, yeah, I guess I've become the face of this. Well, yeah, you have.
Yeah. Well, I'm just sitting here going, so someone who is very vocal about being gay and black and being held down by white supremacy, he doesn't want you to know that his significant other is a white male.
Yeah.
Part of the patriarchy, obviously. You know, sitting in a room with an absolutely awful, like the queen of awfuls, when you really get down to, if you ever watch anything this woman has done, and just patting each other on the back and talking about the same talking points. And I'm just going, this is as pathetic as you can be.
Yeah, it really is. And again, this is only, if nothing is done, if this is not stopped right now, this is going to spread and it's going to get worse and it's going to get ramped up. Already seeing these little losers with their cameras, anybody who looks like they met, and again, it's usually white men. We're going to follow white men. And if they're in a hoodie, or they're wearing green, or they're wearing camo, or we even think in our little pea brains that they might be, you know, ICE adjacent in some way, or they nodded or something, we're going to come and harass them. I'm like, start carrying pepper spray and spray these little jerks. Did you see the one video of that ridiculous, awful, this lady who was down and getting in somebody's face, and he just sprayed her? It's like, ew, like, I need Raid, go away.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we are halfway to the next Sunday. And if you don't think that there's groups out there talking about replicating what went on in St. Paul, you need to wake up and get your head out of the sand, because I could see this happening again at different locations across the country.
Which is a wake-up call to churches out there. Number one, you want to have people that are armed in there. You want security in there that knows how to use it. And men, stand up and be a buffer between these creeps and your women and children. I didn't see any of that. Granted, I think they were maybe surprised. So this is your one freebie over here. Okay, you were surprised by it. Expect this. These are the worst of the worst people in our culture, in our society. They will do horrible things And they don't feel bad about it. They think that they are righteous and doing the right thing. You need to be a buffer between your women and children when these idiots, and then they need to be known that they cannot do that and they need to be escorted. If it's firmly, they need to be escorted out. Do not tolerate this.
Well, just think about what the media reaction and the level of outrage would be if this was a bunch of Republicans wandering into a mosque.
Yep.
Because you believe this would be the next George Floyd kind of scenario level of media representation if that were to occur.
I was watching Gutfeld last night and Tyrus was on there. It's like these little jerks would not be doing this in a black church.
No. They would there's do it.
Just
yeah.
It would not be tolerated.
No, so, and then, yeah. Black church, yeah. even a synagogue, yeah. You know, this would not occur. I'm just sitting here going, this is the next level insanity, and this is the next step in the takeover.
Yeah, absolutely. This is all part of these people are communists, and we know the playbook. We know where this escalates if it's not stopped. And the other thing too is if you're harassed on the street, I'm like, have pepper spray, have some bear spray.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I watched one. I watched one. It
you
was
don't want you don't have to tolerate these people in your face.
Well, I watched one where it was about a minute or so long, and it was a guy, you know, walking down, I believe, a street in Minnesota, very cold, and just this young, loudmouth screaming every epithet he can at the guy, claiming he's ICE and he's racist and he's Nazi and he's a bigot and this and that, all because the guy wouldn't show him ID. And you're going, wait, isn't this what your complaint about ICE is? That they're just randomly stopping random people asking for ID?
Yeah, so there's no reason. Again, these are the street animals. They're there because they know that they will do basically whatever is expected and whatever they're told. So they can be potentially dangerous. We don't have to tolerate this. Don't have to tolerate it.
Mm-mm. Nope.
All right. Some good news.
All right. Shh. Hit me with it.
I love this because I love our vice president and our first lady, JD and Usha Vance. And they're having a baby. Baby number 4 is a boy. And he's due this July. And this will make the first time a sitting vice president has a child while in office since the 1870s. And I had looked up who it was and I forgot. I didn't write it down. But then, since the 1870s, somebody who's, you know, got their presidential history will know who the vice president is. But this is so cool. And I think she's one of the, if not the youngest, first lady as well. Mm.
Yeah.
And they're a lovely couple and I love them.
Well, and it's so nice to see. I mean, you know, when you sit there and go president, vice president, we're always thinking about old guys in their, you know, their white wigs. And you're kind of going, it's nice to see young, family-oriented somebody in that position where you sit there and go, the future is bright as long as the Republicans around him can do their job. And you know, let's pray for the Vance family and everything else. And fingers crossed he can be the next president of the United States because I think he holds all the right qualifications.
He's great, and he handles social media well. He handles the haters well. He's got that meme, you know, the heavy JD, the fat JD with the curl. Was it Babylon Bee? Did you see that where they had the ultrasound and it had that face on it?
Oh, that's a good one. Love the Babylon Bee.
I love the Babylon Bee. And their daughter, they have one daughter, little Mirabelle, who is absolutely, I think she's 4. She's so cute. These are cute kids.
Well, and I'm just sitting here going in the detractors. It's like everything they seem to do just flies right in the face of every trash talker, everybody who wants to call them every name in the book. It's like this is a God-loving family, you know, multicultural that is thriving in the world that we're told just can't happen.
Well, God bless them. God bless them. All right, we're just about out of time. We got Jeff Reynolds on the show tomorrow, so that's going to be a good show. We always get Jeff for the full hour, so who knows what we're going to talk about then. Go out, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.